Welcome to the Brew Crew Review Podcast, the show by fans for fans of your Milwaukee Brewers.
All right, Brewer fans, welcome to the Brewer Review Podcast. My name is Craig. With me today is Vince. How's it going?
Doing great, man. How are you, Craig?
Doing good. So the baseball season is about a week away from kicking off over in Korea with the Dodgers and Padres, a two-game set, kicking off the MLB season. That's exciting. Spring training has been going on pretty swimmingly. There's been some Brewer developments that we'll talk about, and yeah, it's been an interesting free agency period also overall for baseball. There's a lot of guys that are signing fairly late. There's actually been, I guess, one of the first things, just discussion topic I was talking about. There's been some talk that, like, they're trying to drum up, like, owners want to possibly put, like, a cap, like, a free agency, like, deadline date so that this doesn't keep happening. What are your thoughts on that?
I know that the union is very opposed to that, but I actually think that's a little bit reasonable. I think you could kind of phrase it so that there's a deadline date, and then there's some penalties that accrue if the contract is signed after that date, so you didn't make it like impossible for a guy to sign during that season. But you know, generally, I'm in favor of it. I think that it would help give both teams and players and agents, for that matter, some certainty going into the off season. It would kind of structure things a little bit. So I would tentatively be in favor of it, depending on some of the details, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's happening, mostly because the players won't let it happen. I can totally see, and I kind of agree with their point of view. I mean, it's basically, if there's any type of deadline, all of the leverage goes immediately to the owners that day, basically. I mean, because then it's, you know, it's put up or shut up time, you know, and they're going to have to take the best deal out there. Whereas I think some of these free agents are literally waiting around for injuries and whatnot. And as we see here throughout baseball, those are happening. A couple of big name pitchers on two of the biggest franchises in the American League East, obviously the Red Sox and the Yankees, just saw their ace go down. Lucas Giolito is for sure going to go have elbow surgery and be out all this season already. So they're kind of screwed. And then the Yankees, Garrett Cole is set to miss at least the first couple month or two of the season. So they're probably scrambling for some rotation depth now too. So these players that were, you know, unsigned at this point are kind of then at the advantage. Now, had the deadline date be set last week or something like that, and they just took the best offer that was on the table to a team, you know, they would be at a disadvantage. So this, I think that's an example of why some of these free agents stay free agents longer. I know in football, sometimes the free agents don't sign until later in training camp. I don't think that necessarily some of these veterans are not signing just so they can miss spring training. But as an example, a player like J.D. Martinez, who hasn't been signed yet, I mean, he's a veteran in his late 30s. And he knows what he's doing with the bat, and he's DHing, so he doesn't necessarily need to get out in the field for fielding practice. I think him signing late in spring training might even be strategic on his own part, you know, to the fact that he may have even had a handshake or verbal agreement with a team, like, you know, I'm not going to sign until like a week before the season starts or something like that. But, you know, so I think there's a lot of ins and outs and whatever, and I think that's probably going to stay how it is, as much as the owners would like a little more clarity, and baseball teams don't like this unsettledness as we approach opening day, but that's how I see it playing out.
Yeah, you make some good points there. I do know that there's, you know, a definite argument to be made at the value of players. I don't know if there's kind of a compromise that could come to it. The reason I'm more in favor of it than you are, I think, is just because I think that it is good for the excitement surrounding the sports. So in the off season, I think that, you know, fans kind of look forward and get excited about the Hot Stove League. And it used to be a lot bigger deal, in my opinion. And it really has kind of turned into a dud and fallen flat, I think, in like the last, like maybe five out of the last six off seasons. So I think just from the fans' perspective, which is what I, you know, tend to look at, I would be in favor of it for that reason. But, you know, I know that there's others that are looking more at it from the economic point of view, whether it's from the owner's perspective or the players. But I think from a fan's perspective, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right, now to get some Brewer news, I should mention to our listeners who tuned in that we are going to be doing our season predictions here for the Brewer Review later in this episode. So we'll have to get to that. But real quick, a couple of injury updates. Wade Miley, I know, probably not going to be ready to start the season in rotation, but I think he's ready to start throwing fairly soon. So I don't think he'll miss more in the first couple or week or two of the season, maybe. But I guess that's all still speculation. Unfortunately, Devin Williams has had to go see a back specialist for some back issues. So that is very concerning. Yeah, because the Brewers can ill afford to have him go down in any fashion or miss any time. I think our setup guys, obviously with Piumps and McGill as our setup guys, and even Abner Uribe in the late leverage bullpen mix. Still, I think Devin Williams is a super valuable piece of this team. Obviously, one of the best closers in baseball. So hopefully, everything checks out with him, and he's still able to make the opening day roster. But I think that's going to be a little iffy now as we're getting closer and closer. So we'll have to check on updates on those developments as we move forward. Hopefully, all is well. Interesting piece of news came out this week. Pat Murphy, talking to reporters, said that, I don't know the exact quote, but something along the lines of people are going to be surprised about baseball, about how well Sal Frelick is going to do as a third baseman. He's going to kind of shock the baseball world, so to speak. And so that leads me to speculate, and other Brewer fans, I think, to speculate that the Brewers may be earmarking third base as Sal Frelick's main position going into this year. And obviously he's been a great defensive outfielder, but the Brewers, I think, need to find, I think their thought, maybe Christian Yelich could be their everyday DH, but I don't think Christian Yelich wants to do that. Therefore we have to get Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Trio's bat in the lineup some fashion in the outfield. So with the three of them in the outfield, Yelich, Trio, and Mitchell, assumingly there's really kind of Sal Frelick kind of get squeezed for at bats there. And I think he needs to get every day at bats at major league level. So third base makes somewhat sense to me, but I'm a little bit surprised too. Supposedly the report just came out that they're really impressed with his footwork and that they definitely think he's going to be able to handle it. Conversely to that, Tyler Black, I don't think he was even started one game at third base in spring training. So I think that our speculation that he probably is not in their plans for future third baseman is probably correct. And he probably is looking at like some type of at-bat share at second base.
Yeah.
First base or most likely just first base and DH, really.
Well, yeah, and Craig, I think that it's interesting because I know we just got him and we're all excited, but Rhys Hoskins is really only under contractual control by the Brewers for one season. And I could easily see Tyler Black sliding over, getting some at-bats this year at first base, getting some at-bats at DH, getting some at-bats maybe at second or third base, and then next year potentially being our starting first baseman or starting DH, depending on how things go with Hoskins. So, you know, maybe that's kind of what the Brewers foresee as well. And I know in our pre-production meeting, we talked a little bit about Sal Frelick, and Sal playing third base reminds me a little bit about what the Brewers were doing with Paul Molitor. I was going to say just early in his career, but they actually did it with Molitor throughout his career, where he played shortstop for a bit when Robin was out, and played third base for many years and second base for several years, and played first base later and even a little outfield, and played DH. And he was, you know, one of the best hitters in all of baseball, not just for the Brewers, but didn't really have a set position throughout his career, really. And maybe that's kind of what the Brewers envision Frelick as being as well, a guy who could play second base, third base, and outfield. There is some value to that. I wouldn't mind the Brewers kind of picking a lane with him and seeing what happens. You know, if he can hit like a third baseman should be able to hit, I'd be very excited and all about it. But be interesting to see if, you know, kind of how this year shapes up. I don't know what we're going to do with Ortiz, I guess, going forward, except to say that maybe next year he's going to be the shortstop after Adames, but likely will leave during free agency or if we don't trade him this season.
Yeah, and it also just the news came out today that Murphy actually confirmed that Bryce Strang will be our opening day second baseman, so there's a little bit of clarity there. It sounds like he'd be pretty much everyday first base and not necessarily part of a platoon either. So that leads me to believe that Joey Ortiz may get squeezed out of the 25-man roster and most likely start at AAA this year until, like you're speculating, until Adames gets traded or moved or injury or whatever. But, I mean, the fact that he's so versatile, he can play a third, short, or second will definitely cover us case of injury, which is a nice step to have. And he has minor league options, but he is already 25, and I think he's kind of ready for the majors. But I don't think there's any harm in, I guess, leaving him with everybody at bats at AAA. So if I had to speculate right now, roster construction-wise, out of Tyler Black, Joey Ortiz, and Joey Weimer, my guess is that possibly two of those three players won't even make the 25-man roster. Is that your guess too, or what are your feelings on that?
It's hard to speculate just with, you know, you never know with injuries. I think I think that the Brewers start the year with Ortiz starting in the minor leagues in AAA, and I do think he's major league ready, so that's tough for me to say. I think Tyler Black makes the team and is a bench bat to start the year. I think that the Brewers want to get Ortiz every day at bats in the minor leagues, and maybe Black's bat is just a shade ahead of Ortiz's. Ortiz's defense is right there. I think his bat's there too, to be honest. But I think that Ortiz likely starts here in AAA. Black will be with the Brewers and pick up at bats at first and DH primarily. Once in a while, second or third base.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Yeah, so I guess for our if Yelich is in the outfield, our DH options are most likely Gary Sanchez when he's not catching or being the backup catcher, and probably Tyler Black maybe as a righty lefty. Like Tyler Black's lefty and Sanchez is righty, so that would make sense for a good split of at bats.
Yeah,
you also have Jake Bowers in that mix, who's a lefty. I think Jake Bowers is a lock to make the 25-man roster, and I kind of feel that same way about Andrew Monasterio, who was kind of our unsung hero last year.
Yep.
And it wouldn't surprise me. And it makes sense with Terang and Frelick being both left-handed batters and Monasterio being a right-handed batter that he could definitely get a lot of at-bats at those positions against left-handers. And then you have Owen Miller who could possibly make the team too. So I think if Owen Miller makes the team, my guess is that both Ortiz and Black might not make the team, but we'll see. Obviously, there's still a couple of weeks of spring training left, but it'll be interesting.
I just think that Black proved himself last year. I don't know that you need both Miller and Monasterio. I think that you pick one of those two guys. I think that Black proved himself last year with his bat in AAA and that he deserves a chance to hit major league pitching. And again, there's still a few more weeks of spring training left. You never know what can happen there. There's always the nagging injuries. There's guys that get put on the DL the last couple of days of camp mysteriously. So you never know. But
and one guy in that same utility man mix that we've, I guess I never mentioned is, someone we acquired this offseason from the Phillies. He's already 26 years old, and he bats left hand as well, and that's done.
Yeah, we pointed out on the last podcast that we released, too. He's had a great spring.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's always has minor league options. I actually think Owen Miller has a minor league option left as well, too. So we could start with those guys at depth. But we have plenty of infield depth, but very, very little solidification outside of Willie Domich starting at short, I guess, in the middle to left side of the infield. But should all be interesting how it plays out. But I guess let the position battles happen. And I think there was some thoughts that maybe Jackson Trio could start at AAA, but with the contract and with how he's heading in the spring, I'd be shocked if he didn't start in this year up in the majors. And therefore, I think that's why they're looking at Frelick. I think they want Frelick's bat in the lineup no matter what. I think that's wise. So the fact that he's able to handle third as of right now is great. Obviously, as we move past this year, I think Frelick will probably end back up in the outfield as a long-term, outfielder. But for this year, if he can handle third base, more power to him. And we'll see what the future holds, I guess. So, All right. Well, I guess let's get to it as far as our predictions go for MLB season. Now, we're doing this a week before the start of the MLB actual opener. Like I said, that's happening. So there's still some unsigned free agents, and depending on who they sign with, there's, I think it affects some of our predictions, but we're going to go forward anyway. So let's start over with the AL. Let's start with the AL East. If you want, go ahead with your predictions, Vince, on the sure. AL East first through fifth place.
Boy, as a 90s kid and 2000s guy looking at this division, things are kind of flipped on their head from where they used to be for many years for me. Obviously, a very tight division in many ways. This one is really tough for me to predict, but I'm going to go with Baltimore. I think that year of experience that they gained last year with a really good team, I think is just going to just make them that much tougher this season. And obviously adding Corbin Burns is a pretty exciting thing. So I'm going to go with Baltimore as my first place team. They disappointed last year. I'll go with Toronto though as my second place team, Tampa at third, the New York Yankees at fourth. And I actually adjusted that after today's news about Gerrit Cole. I had the Yankees actually at third. I still think that they could compete. They might still go out and get somebody. So this could change before opening day, but I'm going to put them in fourth place right now without their ace. Despite the fact that they got Juan Soto this offseason, and I will go with the Red Sox in fifth place.
All right. For my AL Central predictions, I've got the Orioles hands down winning this division. Obviously, acquiring Corbin Burns to top that rotation is huge for them. And I think obviously they won over 100 games last year without him. So I think they're going to be pretty awesome in this year. Second place, I actually have the Blue Jays, who I think have a real solid hitting roster and underrated pitching. Third place, I still have the Yankees, even though they've got some pitching problems. In fourth place, I have the Rays. So I think I have just as equal a number of pitching problems, actually. They lost Glasnow. Their young gun Bradley's already hurt. And I think they've got some question marks up and down their rotation now. So I'm going to pick them for fourth. And then fifth place, the Red Sox, obviously, with Giolito going down. They didn't have a solid roster even with him. But they're really going to have to cobble together some starting pitching going forward. Is never a good thing in the AL East. So I'll pick them fifth. All right, AL Central. I guess we'll alternate these, and I'll start off my AL Central predictions. I've got the Twins winning that division. Again, I really like their pitching. It's really underrated. Pablo Lopez is awesome, and Joe Ryan, I think, is going to prove himself to be a near top rotation guy this year too. And they had some nice breakout seasons, you know, even from Royce Lewis at third base last year. And they've got some solid veterans all the way around. I like their club. Second place, I got a surprise team in the Royals. Obviously, their acquisition at the trade deadline, getting Cole Reagans in there from the in that Chapman trade. Really, I think he's going to be like a near ace. I've heard people already comparing him to DeGrom this year at spring training. I think they're an up and coming team. I think they're gonna be like the Diamondbacks last year, and they're gonna be like a year ahead of everyone thinking of them breaking out. So I'll pick them second, and even battling for that division title. Third, I also have a surprise in the Tigers. They're a team on the upswing as well. And they have a nice deep rotation for the first time in like forever. So that's pretty nice. The Guardians, I've got fourth. Looking at their roster, they've got lots of problems still, unfortunately. And then the White Sox have even more problems than the Guardians. So I'll pick them for last. All right, AL Central then.
Interesting. Yeah, we definitely disagree about Kansas City. I think that Kansas City could be good in like 2 years, maybe. But okay, I picked the Twins in first place as well. I think that the Guardians are a little underrated, so I put them in second place. I know that they only had 76 wins last year, but I do think that the Guardians somehow always find a way to at least be competitive, with the exception of last year. It's just such a weak division in so many ways. I've got Detroit for third as well. I've got the White Sox for fourth. I've got the Royals in fifth place.
Okay, yeah. All right, let's move over to the AL West. We'll have you later.
Maybe the Royals do knock out the White Sox for last. I'm really not impressed with the White Sox and their entire direction.
Yeah, I think and again they have some nice young players on the way with like Colson Montgomery, but I think their starting shortstop might be Paul DeJong. So I think they got some issues. But all right, AL West predictions, Vince.
I have got the Houston Astros still in first place. I just think that this team is too good down here. I live in Houston, for those that don't know, and that offense is still awesome. So, yeah, I've got the Astros in first. I've got the Mariners in a surprise second place. I'm typically a little less bullish on Jerry DePoto-led teams, but I'm going to put them in second this year because I've got the Rangers in third, and I think there will be some sophomore slump with those guys after their world championship last year. Still have a lot of talent, but I just feel like they overachieved a little bit last year, and I don't see them necessarily being quite as talented this season. I've got Angels of Anaheim in fourth place, and I've got the Oakland A's, unfortunately, in last place again, despite my enjoyment of some things in Oakland franchise history.
Yeah. All right, my AL West predictions. I've got the Astros winning it. Obviously, the Rangers won the World Series last year, but Astros are kind of still that solid dynasty that they've got going. The Rangers, I'll pick second. Obviously, they're a really good team, but they, you know, with DeGrom and Scherzer still on the shelf, you know, with those older pitchers, you just never know. They somehow won it all basically without those guys most of last year, so they're still a really solid team. And they have a young hitter named that they drafted fourth overall last year, Wyatt Langford, that to me could be Trout 2.0, which is pretty scary. The guy's phenomenal. So adding that to a World Series caliber team, that they're definitely going to be a playoff team this year, but I have them finishing second. Third, the Mariners, Trader Jerry. Not a fan of his moves this offseason. I'll just put it that way.
No. I'm not either.
I love former Brewer prospect and former Mariner Mitch Haniger more than anyone else, but apparently not more than Jerry, because he brought him back and he's all washed up. And I'm not sure exactly what their plan is, but I know J.P. Crawford had a nice bounce back season last year. Maybe he'll solidify that. But I got him third. The Angels.
Their big offseason acquisition was Luis Urias too.
The Angels, I got fourth. Obviously, you can't really recover from losing Shohei and Ohtani, but they're not a terrible team. However, moving to the last place, the Oakland future Las Vegas A's, most likely. I don't want to be over dramatic, but it's very possible that the A's are coming in the 2024 season with the worst roster of any Major League Baseball team in history. So I'll just again.
Well, how many? All right. How many wins then do you think that the A's are going to put up? I'll just point out by our intern sending me the note. They finished 50-112 last year. So just for speculation's sake, how many wins do you think that they will achieve in the 2024 baseball season?
I'll give them about that. I'll say 49.
49. Okay, I'm gonna take the over by barely. I'll say that they're not the worst team in history.
Yeah.
But they're not gonna be good. I'll say 51.
Maybe they'll have some surprises. All right. Well, we'll move all the way over to the NL now, and I guess it's my turn to lead off the NL East. Well, on the flip side of that, the Braves might have one of the most impressive rosters in a long time, and so I'll pick them for first. Second, I've got the Phillies, really solid team. Again, they were around the doorstep of the World Series and knocked off the Braves in the playoffs both the last 2 years. The Marlins finishing third. Again, they're on the team with their arrow pointing up. The Mets, their arrow is pointing sideways at best. I've got them fourth. The Nationals are in definite rebuild mode, and there I've got them last.
Yep. I just, to be dramatic, pick the Phillies for first, even though I know how great the Braves are. I do think that the Phillies have got a chip on their shoulder a little bit just after they're being bounced in the postseason the way that they have been the last two seasons. So I think that they may come to camp with that on their, or coming to opening day with that on their shoulders a little bit. I'm going to pick the Phillies in first, Braves second, Mets in third, Marlins in fourth, and the Washington Nationals in fifth place.
All right. And we'll have you. We're going to skip the NL Central and save that one for last. But how about NL West?
Okay, I've got the Dodgers in first, unfortunately. I've got a good D-backs team in second place. I've got the Giants in third. The Padres, I think, are a mess. And they're in fourth, and the Rockies in fifth.
Okay, I will go very similarly. Dodgers first, Diamondbacks second, Giants third. I'll put the Rockies in fourth. I don't know why, but I've got
wow.
Because I think the Padres, I mean, the Rockies are going to be bad, but neither of these are going to be playoff fans. The Padres, I just don't. I mean, they've got Joe Musgrove and Darvish and whatnot, but still some nice, even with losing Soto. I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs with Soto last year. They just seem like they're.
And they lost Hader too.
Yeah, they lost. I think it seemed like they're on the precipice of falling into pieces. They have like no outfielders. We'll see. I got them last. So, all right, switching to the NL Central. This is a tough. I guess it's my turn to lead off. I'm going to have the Cincinnati.
You chose it. You chose this, Greg. You chose it. You chose to skip the Central and go to the West. So you're taking the tough one first.
All right. Yeah. I've got the Cincinnati Reds winning this division. I've got the Milwaukee Brewers finishing second. The St. Louis Cardinals finishing third. The Chicago Cubs finishing fourth. And the Pirates in last.
Interesting. Wow. Call me a blithering optimist. I'm picking the Milwaukee Brewers for first place. I think that the Brewers, were 92 win. Well, I know that they were a 92 win last season. I know we lost Corbin Burns. I know that Woodruff is hurt for at least the first half. And I know we've got a lot of young players, but I still think that given our competition in the division, that we are just as good, if not better, than anyone else out there. And I do think that I do think this is the one weird division where you could honestly see anyone finishing from first to fourth, pretty much in my mind at least, maybe even first to fifth. So, you know, I'll throw that out there as a caveat, but I'm going to pick the Brewers in first place. I'll pick Cincinnati in second. I'll pick the disgusting Chicago Cubs in third, the Cardinals in fourth, and the Pittsburgh Pirates in fifth.
Yeah. That's definitely interesting. Yeah. Let's hope you're right. And again, this is it's an exciting time to be a Brewer fan. Like we said, just because of all the young guys and the influx, it feels like we're about to come out of rebuild with this roster. And in reality, we've been contending all along. With that being said, the reason I didn't pick us to win the division, if you look at our, well, first of all, we lost Corbin Burns and in essence, Brandon Woodruff, he's back on the team, but he's not going to contribute much of it all this year, besides maybe late in the season. And that'd be optimistic at best. So if you look at our rotation now, Freddy Peralta is our unquestioned ace, even though he previously was like our number three starter. So right there goes your depth. Now, let's just say, to be fair,
Woodruff only threw 11 games last year, though, too.
That's true, yeah. But, I mean, if Peralta were to, God forbid, go down, I mean, we're looking at a rotation that rivals like the mid-90s Milwaukee Brewers teams, and that's a recipe for disaster. So here we are with a couple weeks left in spring training, and Pat Murphy came out today, and obviously – He basically said that Freddy Peralta, Colin Ray, and Jacob Junis would be in the starting rotation. The other ones are up for grabs. That was a little bit concerning to me. I don't think that those with 2 weeks left in spring training, those guys should be handed starting roles, because I think that at the end of the year, I don't want Colin Ray or Jacob Junis as part of our rotation, and it's not a recipe for success, in my opinion. I want to see as much of DL Hall, Robert Gasser, I mean, for even someone like Joe Ross has more upside than those guys, in my opinion. But, you know, Wade Miley's got to get healthy. We definitely need him, another veteran presence behind Peralta. But I think we also could be in trouble if there is any health issues with Devin Williams. So, I mean, I really love our hitters right now going forward. But now all of a sudden that our hitters will be in good shape finally after many seasons. It feels like our entire pitching staff is held together with some duct tape or whatnot, and it could come out at the seam. So let's hope that we can avoid that. If we can, I think the Brewers definitely have a chance to contend for the NL Central title still and repeat. But I think it's going to be a difficult, challenging season. Hopefully we can come through with it. I'm excited for Pat Murphy, just as you are, Vince, as the manager, and some, you know, to see what some of these young guys can do with a full season under their belt. Obviously having Garrett Mitchell back to full health could be huge. I think Brewer fans forget how good that guy really could be, and Sal Frelick on the full season on the team too, definitely helpful. And of course our up-and-coming hopeful future superstar Jackson Trio, hopefully will start opening day. So all those are very exciting things on the hitting end of things for the Brewers. We'll see how this plays out. So before we wrap up, we go through a couple of our other Brewer predictions, and let's go over those. Vince, I'll let you go first on these. Or I guess we'll alternate for that too. Your rookie, the Brewers rookie of the year.
Boy, I'm sure hoping it's Jackson Trio. So I'm going to pick Trio.
Nice. Well, I would say you stole my thunder. I'm actually just going to go with Robert Gasser.
There you go.
I have a feeling he's going to be a solid, like, mid-rotation starter and eat up a lot of innings this year.
But
Jackson Trio makes perfect sense, and I would think, hands down, hopefully he's not only our rookie of the year, but the NL rookie of the year. That'd be great.
Yeah, I like that. That's good optimistic thinking. I do like that thought.
For unsung hero of the year, I guess I'll lead this one off. I'll go with Jake Bowers, just because he feels like he might be this year's Monasterio, where no one's paying attention to him anymore, but he's still on the roster. And he could, you know, depending on how our DH situation put, I mean, Tyler Black could be terrible, and Gary Sanchez could be completely washed. And all of a sudden we've got DH at-bats and first base at-bats available for Jake Bowers. And he's late in his career, but not washed up yet. I think he could have like a late career season or something. But anyway, Jake Bowers will be my unsung hero.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I am going to go with Bryce Terang. I think that his defense is amazing. I think that his bat hopefully is still developing. I think that his offensive production last year was so bad that people might sleep on him a little bit this year. So I'm going to go with Bryce Turang.
Yeah, I like that pick. I really hope that they don't platoon him too much, and then let him you know, get the experience against left-handers as well, because I do see him as an everyday player going forward.
Well, and so does our anonymous source, Tom Carter. He was there talking to Murph yesterday, and it was our anonymous source, Tom Carter, that told me that he kind of gave us that scoop that Turang was going to be the starting second baseman on opening day, and I get the sense the plan is to play him every day.
Nice. Yeah, it'll be exciting to watch. And I think he's got way better numbers than last year, as do you, obviously. So, all right, our pitcher of the year. I think you lead this one out, Vince.
I'm going to go Fastball Freddy. I think he steps up. And like you said, he was a number three starter by default in rotations of Brewers past. But I think that this year he's going to not only be an ace in the sense that he's our number one starter in the rotation, but he's going to be an ace because of his success on the field, and a guy that can slide in as the number one pitcher just about anywhere in baseball. I'm going to go Freddy Peralta.
Nice. I'm assuming he bounces back before the start of the season. I'm going to go with Devin Williams as a lockdown closer. And I think instead of trading him, we're going to keep him all year long as one of the best closers in baseball. And then let's switch over to the hitter of the year. Wow, this one can go in so many directions. I'm just going to go with an out of left field pick, so to speak, and go with Rhys Hoskins, Rhys Lightning. I have a feeling that since technically it's like a walk year for him, if he performs well, he's going to earn himself a big contract. And I think that's going to motivate him. And I think he's going to have like 35 plus home runs in the middle of our lineup. It's something we've been sorely lacking over the last 5 or 6 years. So I'm going to Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, I was going to pick Hoskins as well, so that'll be my official pick. I will say that if we're looking to be different on these picks at all, my backup is Joey Weimer.
Oh, interesting. And he seems like someone that, again, going into the season, not guaranteed anything, I guess, and supposedly he's retooled his swing. And I think that's one of the reasons he could even start the year at AAA with his retooled swing, just to make sure he's got every – I think it's important he gets every day at bats. I just don't see – that at the onset of the season here at the major league level, but again, you never know when we could move one of these guys to maybe solidify our pitching or something like that. And again, I don't think Sal Frelick is going to be our third baseman for the next 10 years or anything. I really do think he's going to come back to the outfield at some point after this season, and even during the season for that matter. So I think we definitely still have. Too many outfielders, and I think one of them is going to have to become a trade bait. And maybe it's Garrett Mitchell, maybe it's Weimer, maybe it's no one. I don't know, but obviously, I really feel like we should. Well, Jackson Trio is going nowhere, and I really feel like Sal Frelick is going to be a Brewer for a long time. So who knows about the rest of the guys? Christian Yelich, I mean, with his contract, he's probably not very movable. Even though kudos to him for having a great bounce back year in 2023 when he was pretty much written off for dead. I feel like he's still going to have similar numbers last year. And moving forward, but even with that being said, I think we're still stuck with his contract for at least a couple more years, so we'll see.
Yeah, and kudos to him though too for having a good attitude and being a team leader. I've been impressed with Christian's ability to still be a leader in that clubhouse despite some adversity for a few seasons.
Absolutely. And I think that the value of Rhys Hoskins in the clubhouse is like cannot be understated, I think, going into this season.
Yeah.
That's why I really am hopeful for this team to gel, especially on the offensive end of things. So I guess the last thing before we wrap up this podcast, Vince, let's throw out a win total number for the 2024 Milwaukee Brewers.
Let's go with 90 wins.
Okay, nice. How many did we win last year? 95, you said?
92 last season. 90, I think that we're going to struggle a little bit because of Burns, a little bit less than last year, but I'm still pretty optimistic on this core group. I'm going to say 90 wins.
Okay. I'm going to go with 88 wins for the Milwaukee Brewers, 2024 Milwaukee Brewers. So hopefully that's still enough to at least make a wild card, but we'll see. But definitely looking forward to this season. Like I said, just over a week to go for the MLB season to be kicked off, and the Brewers will have their home opener is actually, I don't remember ever being on a Tuesday before, but isn't it a Tuesday, the April 2nd against the Twins?
Yeah, it is Tuesday the 2nd. Are you going to be joining us in the parking lot, Craig?
I don't see why not. I mean, I have work
Sounds
and
good.
whatnot, but.
Well, but you know, it should be
always,
a holiday if it's not.
I feel like I have some sick days, and I'm pretty sure the people I work with don't know what the opening day is. So we'll see how it works
I
out.
I think you're projecting getting sick, I think, is what you're saying. But I'll be flying up forward from Texas. My brother, who was deployed for the last 11 months, just got a text while on the air here. He just landed back in Milwaukee, like in the last 10 minutes. So he will be there, very excited about that. So pretty pumped up. So we will be in the parking lot.
Congratulations for your brother's homecoming. That's awesome news.
Yep. Just got a bunch of pics from the family at Mitchell International to greet him. So pretty stoked and happy. So anyways, he will be in the parking lot. So excited to see him again. We'll be out there. So hope to see you out there, Craig. That'd be a lot of fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope to see you guys all out at AmFam Field this season, but there'll be some more podcasts before we kick off the season as we solidify the roster here and see who wins all the position battles going on and who's ultimately on our 25-man roster as we enter 2024. So stay tuned for all that good stuff. And actually really excited about this weekend coming up. There's the MLB has put together the spring breakout in spring training. And this Sunday on St. Yeah. Paddy's Day, actually the Brewers will be playing the Royals prospect, all the Brewers prospects, top, you know, 25 prospects will be playing the Royals top prospects in Surprise, Arizona for, I think it's just.
Two really good systems too. I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be really fun. I wish I could be there, but if not, it'll be cool to see. And follow that game. So yeah, definitely exciting for the future. I know there'll be a lot of future Brewers are, Jacob Mizorowski, I think, is slated to pitch in that game. And, there'll be obviously our last year's first-round pick, Brock Wilkin, and a lot of other great Brewer prospects will be there as well. So, all right, looking forward to it. So stay classy.
That's great, Craig. Just a really quick reminder, fans, be in touch with us, Brewer Review 1 on Twitter. Happy to interact with anyone on there, talk some baseball. Send us any questions that you might have to Brewer Review Podcasts with an S at gmail.com. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
All right. Stay class, Wisconsin, and go Brewers.
Go Brewers.